Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to the Tuesday, October 5th edition of the RotoWire NFL podcast brought to you by WinBet. I'm Joe Bartle. You can follow me at JB Fantasy Sports. Alongside me, almost as always, but certainly this week, is Jake Letarski. You can follow me at Roto Jake. Jake, it's good to have you back on the waiver wire.
Yeah. You know, I missed 1 week of the waiver wire show, and then I ended up with Josh Gordon on a roster. So, you know, that's about how it goes.
How did that happen?
I'm sure you guys hit that last week. It was just like, God dang it, I'm 0-3, caught some injuries. Like, I need to catch lightning in a bottle. So let's put it down on him and see what happens. But, you know, then I got to start, you know, thinking with more analysis, putting together this outline. What was I doing? Hey, I got Kadarius Toney in that same league too. I had lost a couple of guys due to injury, and it's my Kyle Pitts league. That's just a mess. So, you know, I'm trying to, like I said, catch lightning in a bottle there, but I don't have many high hopes.
Yeah, we did touch on Josh Gordon, and it was literally probably a sentence long. John, thank you again for filling in. It was kind of like, yep, we've done this before, and I'm not doing it again. And I said, yep, I agree. Same thing. We just continued to move on right afterwards. We had a few comments, actually, so it would have been good, and we could still talk about it now regarding his role. Obviously, didn't do much, if anything, with the Chiefs this past week. We'll see if that kind of figured itself out.
But the thing was, is, you know, he comes in after all this time, right? And apparently all I'm seeing is tweets that he's like 7% body fat and looks crazy in shape and could play this week. And I don't know, I talked myself into it. And then it turned out to be a horrible fantasy week for me overall. Went against Tyreek Hill in 3 of 5 leagues.
Oh, see, I didn't at all. I was jacked about that.
Yeah, see, I was out in Colorado on Thursday night watching Tyler Childers at Red Rocks. I don't know exactly what happened with DJ Shark, but I come check and I got a bunch of zeros. He must have
broke his ankle. First drive.
So it's just been a bad fantasy week for me. And I think it's all because I missed the show on Tuesday here. So let's go for perfect attendance the rest of the year and get me in the right headspace here moving forward for the fantasy football season.
Yeah, well, let's turn your season around. And I'm sure WinBet can also get your season turned around, too. If there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions, making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBet is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. WinBet brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more right at your fingertips. If you want a break from sports betting, head into WinBet's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down on blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WinBet is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. While rapidly expanding at WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's W-Y-N-N-B-E-T. WinBet, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. Well, let's recap my Chargers. Again, I write for the Chargers on RotoWire. I write about the Chargers on RotoWire. So I could say they are my Chargers, more or less my number two team besides my you know, Green Bay Packers that Jake so kindly told me not to wear my hat for on the broadcast.
I know he's sitting there beforehand, and I'm like, okay, so we're gonna take any shred of unbiased out of this, right? You're gonna sit.
I don't
there
feel like I've ever pretended like I'm not biased for the Packers, but it's almost like the other way. I'm always like upset with them. Anyway, Chargers end up getting a pretty big victory, 28-14 over the previously undefeated Raiders. We obviously had some weather conditions, despite a mostly dome related stadium. That was kind of weird to start the broadcast too. And we saw Justin Herbert continue to be impressive. So what were your overall takeaways from this contest? Yeah.
Well, I guess there are open air elements to the stadium, which is why the lightning delay had to happen. That was the first thing on my notes for this game, you know. Okay. Once we got over that and we're moving on, I'm sure the East Coasters loved all of that. I mean, Herbert's looking good. He's spreading the ball around a lot. He missed Mike Williams on a deep ball. Otherwise, you know, it could have been a nice fantasy day for Williams too. But I mean, he had a perfectly fine fantasy day, and is definitely, there's no doubt at any point, there never was, that he is their guy. But he's just going to be a great person to own and roster in fantasy, because he'll be very consistent week to week. Derek Carr, on the other hand, you know, those MVP talks can probably fade a little bit, or at least the contract extension. You know, they're wondering on the telecast why they haven't extended him yet or whatnot. And, you know, hey, guess what? You know, this is why. And it's not like he played horribly, but they were very slow to get the thing going. And then the other thing that stood out was the backfields. Of course, Josh Jacobs came back, and that essentially pushes Kenyon Drake, Peyton Barber, pretty much back to fantasy irrelevance. Now, Jacobs, this wasn't good game flow for him. They were behind for much of it, and they didn't really make it close to, like, briefly in the third quarter. But Jacobs still, he had 13 carries, a little more than 3 yards per carry. The bright side with him, though, was he was targeted 5 times in the passing game and caught all 5 for 17. So that's what gives me a little bit of hope that Jacobs is maybe more than just a guy moving forward. And then, of course, we got to touch on your side. I mean, Austin Ekeler, he was running between the tackles, had pretty much his best fantasy day of the year. Do you think that's a sign of what's to come now moving forward?
Well, it's interesting. The broadcast brought up specifically, and I was kind of like, yeah, so, because that's what Austin Ekeler does most of the time. I mean, he really does run between the tackles often. Mm-hmm. You'll see like Larry Roundtree, who got a decent amount of carries last night. Honestly, I was surprised by the kind of workload he was getting, given how ineffective he was. And Justin Jackson will at times run through the tackles too. But that offense, especially now with Joe Lombardi as their offensive coordinator, is an offense that likes to move the ball in between the tackles, and the space outside is usually reserved for a Mike Williams out route, comeback, something like that, Keenan Allen crossers. Mm-hmm. It's more in the passing game. And I felt like the flats were open all Monday night. The broadcast brought up as well, too. But like that Jared Cook fourth down, clear example of why running outside the tackles is more reserved for different portions of the offense and big plays.
You saw with Keenan Allen, too, pretty decent PPR day, dud of a day in just about any other format.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be something that occurs often. You know, I know prior to this last game, Allen had either 100 receiving yards or a touchdown in each of the first 3 weeks. And like, that's relevant, because over 100 receiving yards, certainly 10 point standard. But if you are in a standard format, those catches mean nothing. I think that's where Allen's volume is going to be. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's any prop bets out there at this point. If you could say 100 plus receptions for Keenan Allen, I can almost guarantee that'll occur so long as he stays healthy. I think he's gonna be well on pace, and he's a very valuable member of that offense. But back to what you were saying with Ekeler too, this is the reason why he was a late first round pick, early second round pick in fantasy formats, other than like the bizarre Vegas league that I know, like, one of our co-workers Harry was in. He took him to the third round. I thought that was ridiculous. It was like a half point PPR standard, and some reason Austin Ekeler fell to that point. I was talking about with him earlier. That offense is going to be one of the best in the league. And I know that Liz was talking about how great Saquon Barkley is and blah, 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 blah. And that's what he has to do as a Giants fan. I think Ekeler is going to be way more consistent and productive than Saquon Barkley is going to be. And if that means Saquon Barkley's top five pick, Ekeler should be top three. And I know that's in jest, because Barkley is not a top five pick.
Where does Aaron Jones fit into that mix? You know, out of those,
where's three? Derrick Henry fit too? Or if Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook come back.
You're saying Aaron Jones for sure ahead of Barkley and Ekeler?
I think so. Yeah. I like that one as well. I mean, all could end up being fine, but I think Ekeler is going to be a very safe production wise. And if he has a bad week, you're losing anyway. That's more or less my thoughts. And I think the same applies for Aaron Jones as well too. So obviously a good game for the Chargers, and, you know, the Raiders disappointment a little bit. I honestly picked the spread with the Raiders thinking these are the games the Chargers normally lose. Primetime contests with higher expectations. Yeah.
I mean, it was their home stadium, and they were getting running out onto the field, you know? So
yeah, and that's going to be what happens throughout the entire season, I feel like. So let's move over to the actual portion of the podcast when it comes to free agent pickups. Before we do so, let's stop and get a word from our sponsors, Blue Wire.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so we're back. You know, quarterbacks, we had mentioned Sam Darnold and Taylor Heinicke. Heinicke had a pretty good game, honestly, from what I was expecting. Sam Darnold, once again, Lamar Darnold is what we're now calling him. I'm not sure if, Jake, if you've found that out. It's Lamar. Yeah. And you could even go like Samar Darnold, too. I've seen a lot on Twitter. Are you? Yeah. Which one do you like, Lamar Darnold or Samar Darnold?
Oh, man, I
you're like, no, another one, please.
No, I mean, so I'm at an interesting point with Sam Darnold where I have him in a league where you only start one quarterback and I start Dak Prescott every week. And then I have him in another league where you start two quarterbacks, but I've got Herbert and Jalen Hurts, and I'm probably just going to hold on to him in that league. So I'm covered in bye weeks, but like, I'm trying to think of how I can maximize on his value. But I think that's going to be tough because people will be like, well, still Sam Darnold and it's Panthers and, you know, I don't know. So, but I'm pleasantly surprised with how he's done. And I know that's someone that we were on early this year as kind of a sleeper quarterback, you know, get him out of the Jets and see what he can do. And obviously it's helping DJ Moore's case quite a bit. No, they look good. And you know, if you hopefully, I mean, based on these picks that you noted last week, Darnold and Heinicke, like you and John seem to jinx the quarterbacks a lot less than me and you do. So let's see what we got for this
week. We've been pushing Sam Darnold quite a bit. And I think Taylor Heinicke is going to be one of those situations where there are certainly times that you could roll with him and other times you won't. But we're going to have to start with Trey Lance because I think that's going to be one of the more popular pickups or at least conversations.
Of course.
Yes. A lot of people have right now. So just outlining, he's at 31% rostered currently in Yahoo, 90% ESPN. I'm surprised because, again, we have been doing these podcasts well before the free agent season had started, and I was seeing Lance and Fields go ahead of Trevor Lawrence when there was no expectation or given that either one were going to start. Clearly, those people dropped those guys or realized, oh, man, I'm making very clearly bad choices. And here we're at that Lance.
At least if you had those guys, you could drop them. At least, but if you had Trevor Lawrence, you know, or if he was your QB1, you had to sit through 3-4 weeks of starting them. So what's worse in that scenario? But no, but Trey Lance, you know, I just had to take a dig there. But Trey Lance, he's an interesting case because the reports I'm seeing say Jimmy G might sit with the bruised calf, thus Trey Lance will start. So I don't think it's a changing of the guard necessarily. Obviously, Shanahan's a lot smarter than whatever the heck is going on in Chicago, but I'm not going to call this the Trey's changing of the guard just yet here. Was Trey Lance great on Sunday? I mean, the stats look okay. He was 9 for 18, so 50%, threw 41 rushing yards on. That's going to help his case. But if you watched any of that game, one of those touchdown passes was a bomb to Deebo Samuel where he was completely uncovered and untouched. It was a complete blown coverage. I don't think you can count on that every game. And obviously, if you take one play out of anyone's stat line and pick which one you're going to take, you can make the stat line look a lot worse. But this is a case where I'm going to call that a little bit fluky. So a couple things going on here. You know, one, when Jimmy G's healthy, does Jimmy G come back necessarily? It's not like Trey Lance, like I said, he wasn't necessarily outstanding. The box score doesn't tell the whole truth there. But if he's available, obviously, I don't think he was cut in any two quarterback leagues. And there are very few one quarterback leagues where you're picking him up to start him immediately. They have Arizona this week. They're ranked number 17 against opposing quarterbacks. And, you know, he could have a good game if he's called upon to start this week. You know, the rushing numbers with a guy like him bring up his total, his average every week. And then he's got a week six bye. And after that, who the heck knows what's going on? So is Trey Lance one of the pickups we have to talk about this week? Absolutely. I don't know about longevity necessarily with this. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I have a Culver's board bet with Mario on our SiriusXM Friday show. And my bet was Lance wasn't going to start until after the team's bye. Do you feel like by default this bet shouldn't count because he would not have started if not for Garoppolo getting hurt? And there was no like built in saying, hey, Garoppolo is injury prone, so therefore Lance. Yeah. No, Mario.
Yeah, I left my gavel at home today, so I'm not going to be able to judge the validity of these bets. I think it's a bet's a bet right here, right? I mean,
I guess I'll bring him in the Culver's burger and he'll just look at it grossly. And
how does that work? I thought he didn't eat meat.
Yeah, maybe, I think he just wanted to steal money from me is really what it is. But back to your point, you would have to tell me, do I start this player over this player? Like, I don't have any specific examples off the top of my head, but would I start, like, for example, Sam? You know, I don't have specific. Here I am making one. Do I start Sam Darnold over Trey Lance? I don't know. Like, that might be a situation where Darnold's rushing upside, at least in the red zone, is making me consider a little bit more. I mean, they play the Eagles. I think I would rather have Darnold from a consistent perspective.
That's a no-brainer. I'm taking Darnold for sure.
I don't think it's a no-brainer. This is my thought process is that Lance is going to be involved from a rushing capacity, and they are not going to have him look like Justin Fields. Like Lance is going to be a factor. Kyle Shanahan is a better offensive schemer than Matt Nagy. I might be a better offensive schemer than Matt Nagy. Like that's entirely in the realm of possibility at this point, given what we've seen with the Bears. If he gets 60 yards, that's 6 points guaranteed, probably getting a rushing touchdown. You're talking about 13 points. You can do a lot worse from a guy that you're picking above the waiver wire at quarterback. Like if you're starting Jameis Winston in a 2QB league, give me Lance every time. Like those types of options, you have to be specific, but I would rather have, I think, Trey Lance in a few of those. I think he's more middle of the pack to low and middle than bottom of the barrel, like you might be suggesting.
Yeah. Hey, just a funny stat while we're, you know, sitting here talking about it. Sam Darnold is QB5 this year, and he's only rostered the 38% of Yahoo leagues. Daniel Jones is QB6, and he is only rostered in 31%.
The thing that lists can actually brag about is Daniel Jones. I don't want to hear about Saquon Barkley being a top five back. Like you can talk about Danny Dimes being insane, and that's rightfully so. He's had a lot of pretty good matchups there. Thus far. So
speaking to Danny Dimes here, he's 31% Yahoo, 33% ESPN. He's at the Cowboys. And now when we think about the Cowboys in our heads, we think their defense is a whole lot better. Diggs is leading the league in interceptions. You know, maybe it's one to watch out for. But when you look at the numbers, I mean, the Cowboys offense is good and they're putting up so many points that eventually other teams are playing catch up or something along those lines. The Cowboys are giving up the second most points, fantasy points, to opposing quarterbacks. And I know we have to be a little bit careful with the 4-game sample size and also think about who they were playing. But Danny Dimes is someone you might sneak into your streaming options this week in a deeper league. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I think that's entirely reasonable. And again, you'd have to go over certain guys. How about like Matt Ryan? Would you rather have Daniel Jones over Matt Ryan? Matt Ryan going against the Jets defense, which has been, I think, up and down to date thus far. Matt Ryan looked pretty good last week. Mm-hmm. That's getting Patterson involved quite a bit, and we can't always guarantee that's going to occur. Yeah. So would you rather
Matt Ryan? I was looking at this when I was thinking about potential cuts, and obviously it's tough to say a cut, you know, with the Jets coming up and off a 4-touchdown game, but he's only rostered in 53% of leagues, Matt Ryan. So people are definitely giving up on him. And I understand that after how the first couple weeks went.
It's the one issue that I might have with Danny Dimes is that the Cowboys defense may or may not be good. Like I'm not willing to really get too deep into the weeds and say, yeah, this is a good defense for the Cowboys, because that would mean this team might be unstoppable. And that's just not the case. Mike McCarthy's the head coach. There's no way the Cowboys are going to be an unstoppable team. But their defense has looked better than in years past. And that might be one of those situations that limits Daniel Jones. I know we're going to get to Kadarius Toney in our waiver wire talk, and we actually mentioned him last week as well. Does Toney possibly playing more give Daniel Jones a higher floor? And I think the answer for me might be yes, but I'm curious in your opinion.
I mean, I think what gives Danny Dimes a higher floor here is Saquon Barkley kind of being, you know, released, you know, basically, they consider him healthy. They're not worrying about his workload, having that weapon there, and Toney breaking out. It certainly helps, but I don't know if Toney will play as much when they get as healthy. It's just that they have a lot of options, and the collective options and mixed with Barkley getting healthy for me is what brings the floor up a little bit.
Okay, let's ping through a couple of these other streamer options real quick. Mm-hmm. We have Jameis Winston, 39% rostered at Yahoo, 29% ESPN, going against the Washington defense, which shockingly is currently allowing the most fantasy points to quarterbacks. Otherwise, you have Zach Wilson and Mac Jones, two rookies. Wilson going off against the Falcons, we talked about that earlier, and Mac going against that susceptible Texans defense. Both are pretty good spots. Like, are you interested? Like, how would you rank those three, I should say?
After Danny Dimes? This is tough. I guess I go Jameis because, you know, I put him on here as the DVP pick. It's tough to decide what you're going to get with him every week. Over the rookies, you know, I still put him there. And then I would rank probably Mac Jones ahead of Zach Wilson. Mac Jones is going against the Titans. Even though Wilson's got a better matchup on paper and looked good last week, Mac Jones is going to have to throw the ball a ton. They ran, I think, against the Bucs. Now, granted, this was possibly by design because of the Bucs' run defense. But the Patriots ran the ball 8 times for -1 yards. They have no running game without, it's not like James White was being a big part of their running game anyway, but this is a lot, you know, two tight end sets passing out of that. He could throw a lot of passes, so more opportunities, and he might have to, not that he'll necessarily have to keep up against the Texans, but it's no secret to anyone that is listening to this podcast what we think of the Texans organization here as a whole. And, maybe it'll be a give up game and they stop throwing here. Maybe they keep it just close enough to be able to make him useful. But I guess I'll go Mac Jones a little bit based more so on seasoned body of work than what we saw specifically last week.
Okay. I think I'm with you on that order as well too. Let's move over to the running backs. It was pretty light last week. We had Chuba Hubbard, and I think, it was disappointing for those who spent as much of their budget as I recommended. And I also did as well too, but I don't think you have to be too upset with the workload that he got, which is an important point of context as we kind of move through the situation where Christian McCaffrey might be out for an undetermined amount of time. And then there's
What was the call on Hubbard? Because I spent $46 in a 10-team league.
Out of 100?
Yeah, out of 100.
Yeah, I was saying John was a little less aggressive. John's never been on the show before. So John didn't know that we are high stakes all the time.
Yeah, we come out hot
to the 9. Yeah, that's so he was more like, hey, what if you do like 25, 30? And I'm like, John, 50 or 100 all in. Doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, 25, 30, those are the right recommendations. But if you actually need to get him, then 46 is the recommendation.
And that was more or less what we had recommended, like what we had kind of worked our conversation to. And he was
25
also
is the keep him honest bid, you like to say, you know?
Yeah, he was in on Elijah Mitchell and therefore didn't have as much fab in certain situations, which I think maybe factored into his opinion somewhat. So that was basically what you did was what I recommended as well. And that was kind of the direction I did for my fantasy teams. Peyton Barber, we had talked about with the Monday night game, less successful now that Josh Jacobs is back. Mm-hmm. I had talked about last week, that's a good landing spot for Marlon Mack if the Colts were to trade their third string running back. I think that would be an immediate upgrade over Barber should Jacobs get hurt again. That conversation doesn't matter except for super deep leagues. Let's get to a few running backs that I think do matter. It's my guy at this point, I think. Kenny Gainwell. I have been talking about him quite a bit as a pickup that I would make if I had missed out on Elijah Mitchell, if I had missed out on Chuba Hubbard, if I had missed out on Patterson, any of these top guys that were more or less starters on a week-to-week basis, I thought Kenny Gainwell was going to be a safer pick. He's still only 29% rostered, but we are now seeing maybe a changing of the guard with Gainwell logging a season high in snaps.
Yeah, here's what I want to say about that. There are a few things that I noted. You know, a lot of these running back notes at least come from Jerry's backfield breakdown thing. So definitely check that out on RotoWire if you can. Gainwell, he logged a season high in snaps, targets, and total yards. His snap share was 39.2%. So not outstanding, but, you know, the season high to me is significant. And the other thing that Jerry noted in his column, that Jalen Hurts breaks the conventional dual threat quarterback wisdom. You know, I've said this on the show. I know Liz likes to say this on his, you know, a lot of our guys, you know, go with that. where if you have a running quarterback, they're more likely to take off and run than dump it off to their running back, you know, as opposed to Ben Roethlisberger, zero mobility, ends up giving Najee Harris 19 targets or whatever the heck it was 2 weeks ago. But, you know, running quarterbacks aren't supposed to do that. They take off and run themselves. That hasn't been the case with Jalen Hurts necessarily, and maybe they're trying to preserve him a little bit, but Hurts is giving 23.4% of his targets to running backs, which is definitely high, you know, among the position, not just if you break them into dual threat guys. So when that's the case, and when the Eagles are behind, which I think will be the case quite a bit with that defense, Gainwell seems to be getting, a lot of the looks here. And of course he scores. He only ran the ball three times. So three carries, you don't think. Eight targets, that's very nice. You know, 58 receiving yards here. But if you look at these next couple of games here on the docket at Carolina, home against Tampa Bay, at Las Vegas, the Eagles aren't going to be favored probably in any of these games until week eight at Detroit, because they're the road team twice. And of course they got Tampa Bay. And, you know, I guess that with the Vegas and Detroit run, they have some nice run that matches against opposing backs. But I think the upcoming schedule game flow wise is going to look better for Gainwell than Miles Sanders. And, you know, and I needed to see Miles Sanders be that limited for 2 weeks in a row before I was ready to give up on him. And of course, he's not a cut yet. You know, they talked about this, Jeff Enlisted yesterday, how, you know, trading doesn't really happen that much. You know, what are you going to trade low for him if exactly. He can find something? But Miles Sanders goes to your bench. I mean, I have a league, it's a 10-teamer where I have Miles Sanders and Kenny Gainwell. I might flex Gainwell, but Sanders is going on the bench, and I'm going to see what else I have there.
Yeah, I had traded Sanders away more like a friends and family league, which is where trading actually does happen. And I'm sure many of the listeners right now are in leagues where they can take advantage of bad managers and trade to their hearts. And you and I, in most of these expert leagues, just are unable to do that, unfortunately.
Joe sitting here just ripping on his friends and family.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, I see some people in the comments that I know for sure are taking advantage of bad managers as well too, and trading with them all the time and having stacked teams that they shouldn't have. So it's not a guarantee. And you're right. You know, Chris and Jeff talk about what happens in the industry for the most part, where trades just aren't something that occurs. I have to like pull teeth to make sure that happens. I like, you know, back to Kenny Gainwell. I like him quite a bit for a pickup this week. If you're missing out on Damian Williams, and I think that's going to be a big key. We anticipate Montgomery's going to be missing possibly a month, maybe a little bit more than that. It doesn't appear to be a season ending injury, which is great. But at least 3 to 4 weeks, if not more than that, I think opens the door for Damian Williams to now be a low end running back two, possible running back one in certain matchups. And, you know, it's going to be important context. Again, I just bashed Matt Nagy, and rightfully so. That Bears offense needs to be able to move the ball effectively, like we saw this past week. However, they're not playing the Lions every single week. And I think that's going to be an important distinction.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's a couple things on that. You know, I was making the outline kind of last night, early, late afternoon, and I put Gainwell first because we didn't know much about the Montgomery injury then. Now, according to, you know, Graziano from ESPN, it seems like 4 to 5 weeks. The story all along was the team would update the situation on Wednesday. So definitely keep an eye out to see if that situation changes a little bit here. But 4 or 5 weeks is significant enough to get a backup, you know, an unrostered backup potentially on the fantasy radar here. So of course the first look is Damian Williams, but Damian Williams suffered a thigh bruise during the win. We'll have to monitor his practice time this week. If you do waivers tonight and put a ton of money on Damian Williams, you could get burned this week, and it's very short-term utility anyway. I mean, the Raiders this week are pretty good as far as matchup for the Bears, you know, against opposing backs, and they've got two top 10 teams against the run, at least fantasy-wise, in Green Bay and Tampa Bay. So definitely have to exercise a little bit of caution here and maybe take a look at Khalil Herbert, because really we could have a Tyson Williams situation here where he's the only warm body, and it won't be as advantageous as Tyson Williams when he was relevant here in Baltimore, because it's a much, much worse team. But there are some touches, maybe a goal line touch or two, something along those lines. I mean, Khalil Herbert was a sixth round pick. He had six offensive snaps last week. He's been active primarily as a special teamer. You know, the Ravens already went and signed all the washed up scrubs, so there's not really anyone else to sign and bring into this team. So, you know, what are we going to do here? I can't advocate spending more than 25% of your budget on Damian Williams, because it's Damian Williams, the team context, and he might be hurt himself. Now, only a thigh bruise, so you think, okay, maybe he misses 1 week. But if you spend a quarter of your budget and can't use him this week, you're kind of backed into a corner, right? Because you're out here looking for running backs because you need one. Maybe you're improving your roster. Maybe you just need a starter. But you pick him up, he sucks up a roster spot, and then you can't use him in his best matchup out of the next 3 weeks here. So, I guess I'm here to exercise caution.
What if you... I don't know. Like, so people listening in 10 team leagues, this conversation does not matter to you. If you miss David Montgomery, I'm sorry. You're likely out of top running back. And you're not going to be able to get someone that replaces that. If you're in a 12 team league, I wouldn't even recommend this strategy. And if you're in a 14 team league that has Kelce, Dalvin Cook, Jonathan Taylor, Nick Chubb on it, don't listen to this either. But if you are in a deeper format that is looking for running backs, I wouldn't be opposed to, if you have the roster spots, to going after Damian Williams and Khalil Herbert. I don't think Herbert's that bad. And honestly, we were talking before we came on air. We know that our resident college guys and the prospect guys, Mario Puig and John McKechnie, both like Khalil Herbert and thought he was a pretty good value in the sixth round. If that's the case, and he ends up being just even a modest type of player, you're covering yourself if Damian Williams misses time and likely not having to spend more than 5 or 6% of your budget. So I think combining the two, thinking to myself, hey, I'm going to get the Bears backfield. That sounds gross to say. I'm trying not to throw up as I'm talking about it, but I'm going to get the Bears backfield for a month. That has some value if you are trying to wade the waters where other people are concerned about Damian Williams missing time. You're kind of claiming claiming that territory.
The Bears are just hilarious. Do we even know who's going to be the starter yet this week? You know,
it's got to be Andy Dalton. That grizzled beard. You can't have that on the bench. That hurts team morale.
Hey, we're a pro beard podcast here.
Exactly. So that's the strategy I'm recommending. Like I think the NFFC, you know, the beat Joe Bartles, the beat Jake Letarski drafts, which need to have happen next year. Those ones where you have really deep bench, I think Damian Williams and Khalil Herbert's going to be available everywhere. I'm going to go ahead and put down 25-30% of my budget to get a combination of that and hope that I can make up some of the lost production. I know you talked about the matchups, and that's going to be really important. But I think if you're looking for deeper bench spots, I kind of like that strategy if you really are throwing some spots away.
Yeah, and Williams only 9-10% rostered, you know, on Yahoo and ESPN respectively. So he's definitely out there if you want to take a stab at him. Let's move on, though, and talk about a guy who is closer to 50%, but just kind of sneaks into our threshold. Now, we saw kind of late in the week after you and John did your show that the Ravens, there were rumors that Tyson Williams is going to be inactive. And sure enough, he ended up being a healthy scratch. They went with Latavius Murray, Le'Veon Bell, and Devontae Freeman. Murray led the way with a season-high 62.5% of snaps, followed by 27.8% for Le'Veon Bell here. So it looks like, at least for now, Murray is leading that backfield. You know, he got the touchdown to make the day look good, but he also didn't get targeted a single time and just over 3 yards per carry, so nothing crazy efficient there. But he's a starter on an actual good team that we expect to see more positive game flow. I mean, do you take a look at him this week?
The only issue is Latavius Murray and, to some extent, Tyson Williams' role. Like, they will only be the runner. I think more critically out of this is some Williams dropped everything. Like, there's really no reason to hold him anymore if the Ravens are choosing to have. That being said, I'm not super in on Latavius Murray. I would rather have the combo of Williams and Khalil than Latavius Murray. That's how I rank it.
All right. Yeah. I hear you. Maybe you want to check your mic there just a sec to make sure that's plugged in, because it was kind of cutting it on out on me. I'll take my turn and I'll ramble for a while you can take a look at your situation here.
That's what happens when we're live, right?
Yes, exactly. This is the beauty of a live show here. So yeah, Latavius Murray. I didn't really hear anything you just said. Hopefully that comes through for the listeners out there. But, you know, he's a guy at the top of the depth chart on a good team. Some other guys I wrote down here, Malcolm Brown is a guy that actually interests me. And, you know, when we did that super deep sleeper show way early on in the offseason, and we talked about Malcolm Brown was a guy we brought up. Quintez Cephas was a guy that we brought up. They're turning out to be pretty decent options in your 16-team league. So Malcolm Brown, He gets his second straight start. He started the game, but this was the first time all season that he got more snaps than Myles Gaskin. So I'll call that significant. And then the other thing is, you know, our big reasoning behind having Malcolm Brown as a type guy was the red zone usage, right? And he got 5 red zone snaps, only 2 red zone carries. He did not score, but, you know, as Jerry called it in his article, you know, busy but ineffective. So again, he's not a game changing guy, but he is a player that could be rostered as he starts to see more and more of the work and starts to be atop that backfield in terms of the usage. So that's definitely something to consider and think about there, because he's just as widely available, I mean, pretty much, as Damian Williams. I mean, Malcolm Brown, 6% Yahoo, 12% ESPN. You know, if you put down keep him honest bids on Damian Williams and say Gainwell's already rostered, that type of thing, then maybe you put back those bids with a couple bucks for Malcolm Brown and, you know, maybe get a flexible guy. No buys week 5, but bye week start up in week 6. I forgot to note that at the beginning. Bye weeks are on the corner, so you always want to be making the most of your roster in this situation. Joe, how's the mic situation going over there?
How does it sound now? Can you?
It sounds wonderful. I think we're back.
Great. All right. Julia asks a pretty good question. Which free agent could you place more fab on, Samaje Perine or Brandon Bolden? Obviously, Joe Mixon is listed as day-to-day currently. Brandon Bolden was the one that emerged from the Patriots' backfield to replace James White. Limited snaps, but was still the pass-catching threat. We had mentioned this podcast this past week, J.J. Taylor, as an option, but here is Brandon Bolden now kind of doing it. Which one would you like more?
I mean, I guess Perine, because either way, it's a rental here. Maybe Bolden gets more carries rest of season, but didn't Bolden only carry the ball once, you know, in his last game?
It was more the pass catching threat.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, here, I'm going to look at the Patriots backfield breakdown here, as I tend to do here, to help look at the situation. Damian Harris, 61% of snaps, 4 carries. That was the top. Brandon Bolden, 32.2% of snaps. So again, you could play roulette with the Patriots backfield and maybe get a guy that gets 5-6 points, even in PPR, you know, for the rest of the year with Bolden. Or you take your 1 week rental with Perine and you look back to the waiver wire next week. But, you know, it's a tough one. If you have to make those claims tonight, you know, neither are particularly attractive. But, you know, I guess I go Bolden, or I guess I go Perine, because I feel better about him, you know, getting the work this week. We'll see what's going on with Joe Mixon. I believe it's a low ankle sprain, which I never knew was a thing. Necessarily, or maybe I'm mixing him up with somebody else, but, you know, low ankle sprain. Basically, I think the terminology was invented to tell people it's not the dreaded high ankle sprain. So I'm checking on Mixon. You're going to want to watch his practice time this week. The offense with Joe Burrow looks good. It looks productive. They're hopefully getting T. Higgins back. Yeah, it's a low grade ankle sprain for Mixon. Now that I look this up, they're hopefully getting T. Higgins back. It's a good offense. So you want, you know, who's going to be the lead back, you know, in that offense here. And I'm trying to see, there's not a whole lot behind Perine. Chris Evans maybe gets a carry or two or something along those lines. But no, I take Perine in that situation. And I think I have Perine in our Dynasty League, one, because it's deep rosters, and two, because I was waiting for this situation to happen.
Yeah. And that was the reason why I was taking Perine is like round 21 best ball as well. You know, in those situations, I think it works too. The Brandon Bolden thing is interesting. I don't think this week is the week to go ahead for it. If anything, Ramondre Stevenson might be the start, because that Texans, you know, the Patriots are favored by 9 traveling to Houston, starting a rookie quarterback after losing to the Buccaneers this past week. It's not a guarantee that Bolden even gets more than 3 or 4 passes, because they're going to be up big. I think it's going to be a lot of running the ball, Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson. But in future weeks, if it's going to be pass heavy, I think there could be a situation where Bolden has some value.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, he's not James White. So I know you make the point on here. Some of the users make the point that he had, you know, 6 catches last week, okay amount of fantasy points. You know, sure, go for it. But, you know, maybe it's a deep league, but I don't plan to have any bids out on him tonight.
Yeah, there might be a few. Like, I think, again, of the NFFC, if he's not rostered, I might go ahead and do that just to kind of churn through some of the bottom of my depth chart. But that's it. So let's move over to the wide receivers. Before we do that, let's get a word from our sponsors, Yahoo DFS. The new NFL season is finally here, and Yahoo's excited to kick off daily fantasy football. There'll be a ton of big prized contests throughout the season on Yahoo, including their multi-entry contest now being shark-free. To celebrate the opening of the Yahoo Daily Fantasy Football and becoming shark-free, Yahoo is giving all users the opportunity to claim free $10 in contest entry credit. Users can take advantage of this free $10 contest entry credit offer. Join one of Yahoo's biggest contests. In addition to the free credit, Yahoo has $1 million DFS football contest live. The $1 million contest features $1 million, obviously, in total prizes, including the first place receiving $100,000 and an entry to the first ever Yahoo Fantasy Football Championship live finals event. Yes, that is a mouthful, and it'll occur at the MGM National Harbor in Maryland this December. Play daily fantasy football on Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo.com/dailyfantasy/welcome to win the free 10-day offer to get started. Is my sound still cutting out? I feel like we're still going back and forth.
It's better than it was since whatever you did to change it. Again, live show here. We're going to do the best we can. There's one thing before we hit on wide receivers for the Brandon Bolden crowd. I wanted to mention, you know, another option if you're thinking of doing that. And that is that's Alex Collins of the Seahawks. And again, he was only 5% less of a snap share than Chris Carson. And Collins, 4.4 yards per carry, 10 carries here, and he got a lot more work in the second half, and he scored the touchdown. I look at Alex Collins too. I think he's, you know, a sleeper worth picking up, not someone, you know, someone to replace the dead weight at the end of your bench if you were, you know, DJ Shark or still have James White or those type of guys. You know, if you got to cut somebody and you know, want to pick someone up for nothing, Alex Collins, I want to throw his name into the ring here as your $2 to $4 max type bid.
Okay, and see, that's where I think Brandon Bolden, I would rather have more Collins, but okay, so last week we talked about Josh Gordon and move past that real quick, but we did like Emmanuel Sanders. Tim Patrick, I think, is going to have less value now if Teddy Bridgewater is to miss any time with that concussion. Kadarius Toney was something that we spent quite a bit of time on, and I was kind of pushing for, and yet picked up in absolutely zero league. So great. Nothing of value to me. And Westbrook Akeen, and really Chester Rogers too. We had mentioned on the broadcast this past week about, hey, what happens if Julio or A.J. Brown and both were out? What's going to be value of that Titans pass catchers? I thought it was going to be Westbrook, and didn't end up working out the way I intended. Lost my stake league matchup because of that. I started him over Devontae Parker, which is just, you know, stupid in hindsight. But
I mean, Jacoby Brissett was the quarterback. Don't beat yourself up too much over that.
Yeah, and I thought the Colts defense, it doesn't. I made bad choice. Yeah. It's fine.
The whole Jeremy McNichols 12 targets for Tennessee really kind of threw things off.
Yeah, I hate Ryan Tannehill. Really to the core. I hate Urban Meyer more, but Ryan Tannehill is next on the agenda of people I just really despise for no reason. AJ Green also had another good game and might be worth more conversation now. But let's start with my guy, Curtis Samuel, who I was all in earlier this year, was placed on IR with a groin injury, came back this past week and got a 35.5% snap share, but it was still behind McLaurin, Humphreys, and Diami Brown. He did catch all four of his targets. Didn't really do much with the yardage wise. So what's your thoughts on Curtis Samuel?
I mean, my thoughts are pretty much what I had written down. You know, he was fourth in snap share and the stat line wasn't necessarily that great. I mean, Heinicke played well this week, but I don't think there's a ton of room for a fantasy relevant receiver behind Scary Terry here. Maybe didn't Logan Thomas get a little bit banged up in this game? That could affect the target tree just a little bit there in Washington. But I don't think I'm as excited about Samuel as you are. You know, I could see his target share and his snap share growing here as we move on. I could see him getting ahead of maybe Humphreys and Dynami Brown. But a big part of his value last year with Carolina was he was getting used out of the backfield, and he was getting a lot of those short type screen passes. And a lot of that was because, you know, Mike Davis was around last year, and that was fine. But a lot of that was because Christian McCaffrey was hurt and they needed that short target guy. You know, now we come here to Washington, where Antonio Gibson is a more than capable pass catcher, and J.D. McKissic is coming off a year in which he caught, you know, 80 balls. So is there a need for that type of role in Washington? Not necessarily. The name's there. He has the name. I know he's done it in the past, but I'm not getting crazy excited about Samuel. He's 40% on Yahoo, and he's, 57% on ESPN. So definitely not universally available there. So I'm not going crazy.
Chenault now with DJ Chark out for the season, obviously tough injury, but missed the entire game, got a good old fat zero for five of my teams this week.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, very few were bigger DJ Shark supporters than we were this season. Yeah. And, you know, it's a real bummer that, it had to go down like that, but now you have to look at next up here. I'm making an exception because Chenault's 58% Yahoo, 71 ESPN. So he's pretty widely rostered. You know, a lot of people thought he'd be in for a breakout this season here. And that still is looking a lot more possible. Now we're going to include him on this show because all the first come first serve leagues that, because it was the Thursday night game early on in the week, you know, all of those have brought, you know, the roster ship up. But, you know, if you're waiting to bid on him and he's out there, I would call him the top wide receiver pickup this week. I'll put him ahead of Curtis Samuel and Darnell Mooney and Jamison Crowder, you know, preview some of the other guys we're going to touch on. Chenault was number 3 in snap share behind Marvin Jones and DJ Shark each week. Marvin Jones is pretty much universally rostered from when I looked. But the other thing is Chenault was always 65% or greater. I think he can get up into that 80 to 90%. But the difference is Chenault has all the upside. You know, you have a round 2 pick here, plenty of skill. He's got, you know, a much greater ceiling than a lot of these, you know, kind of boring names that we're going to throw in the wide receiver ring this week. So I would, even though it's the Jaguars, it's a team that's going to be behind a ton. And I can very much see, Chenault, you know, taking over what Shark was, you know, if not more, with less targets to go around.
It's frustrating. Obviously, 58% on Yahoo means doesn't really meet our threshold. We're only talking about this because it is such a crucial injury, probably one of the bigger game changers. If Chenault is not available on waivers, and he's probably not, I am comfortable going ahead and trading assets in the range of wide receiver 2 value to get Chenault, because that's what I believe he's going to be. And to some extent, I think Marvin Jones in the same way. I will be aggressively trying to target the people who do have rostered Chenault and overpay, because by the end of the season, I think they are going to be both top 20, top 25 fantasy wide receivers. That was like the floor, I thought, for Mike Williams, and obviously he's well exceeded that. I think Chenault, especially with how bad Jacksonville is going to be a guy that is going to get so much work that, kind of like Hunter Renfrow, you can just plug and play, even though he's not going to be fantastic. Oh, by the end of the night, gets 13 fantasy points because he's getting targeted so often. I really think Chenault is going to have a lot of value to that extent. I want to extend it a little bit further into deeper leagues. My guy, again, Tyron Johnson, obviously former Charger wide receiver, now over with Jacksonville, is going to be the number 3 wide receiver over at Tavon Austin, in my opinion. And I think there is talent there. I think he could be a fantastic guy if he gets the right opportunity.
Yeah, I just need to make a point of clarification that you're all hearing this from Trevor Lawrence's biggest supporter of all time. So, I mean, I don't see much happening besides the top 2 wideouts in Jacksonville. You know, maybe you get a week or two out of it, maybe for a deep dynasty league. But, I like Chenault a lot. I would bet Chenault over Jones rest of season, maybe even. But to go beyond 2 Jacksonville wide receivers, that's
too aggressive for you.
Makes me a little queasy. Yes.
There's an Urban Meyer aggressive joke that we could make, but we'll avoid that. Let's move over to
that was passive aggressive. If anything, he's just sitting down on his bar stool, letting it happen, but whole nother topic of conversation. We don't need to get into this. Is supposed to be a family friendly show, I believe.
What's that? Your mic was cutting out. I couldn't hear anything you said. Let's move over to Darnell Mooney at 38% rostered on Yahoo, 40% ESPN. He's eclipsed Allen Robinson snap share all 4 weeks. Does that matter? I'm not sure. He's got a lot of targets in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Does that matter? I'm not sure. It's the Bears offense. It's Matt Nagy. What's your take on Darnell Mooney?
Yeah. So like I noted, 7+ targets in 3 or 4 weeks and a higher snap share than Allen Robinson, who is mysteriously and largely disappeared this year. And I'm going to put that on the coaching staff and the scheme to, you know, you have what should be a top 10, top 15 wide receiver in the NFL on paper, and you just refuse to use him. So that's interesting. And then you have Darnell Mooney. Now, he is a little bit big play dependent. We saw John Ross obviously come out and score a touchdown this week. Of course, he's I put him of course a tier higher than that, but you know, he split 2 defenders and managed to get a reasonable ball thrown his way. Can that happen every week? Probably not. So he's a little big play dependent, but the volume alone, I mean, you know, I joke about it. Like, you know, with the 49ers and Trey Lance, we were talking about Debo Samuel got that, that big fluky where the coverage was completely blown and you got a bomb touchdown, you know, probably worth about 12 fantasy points or so, depending on your format, big play bonuses, whatnot. If you're on the field, you have to be on the field for that to be able to happen. And Darnell Mooney is basically on the field every single snap, and he's getting a lot of looks, regardless of who's at quarterback. So he becomes sneaky into wide receiver three territory when bye weeks come around. You know, I don't want to invest in this offense a ton. I can't believe how much we've talked about the Bears on this show. And of course, we need to, again, clarify that they just played the Lions. So all their fantasy assets, except with the exception of Allen Robinson, are going to be looking their best that they would out of all those years. But the volume alone has been worth it to stick Mooney on this show outline. He can produce with bad quarterbacks and a bad offense. There'll be some fantasy value there.
Can we talk about another offense that I have zero interest in investing in, but must discuss anyway?
Yes, please.
All right, let's talk Jets. Jameson
Crowder, ooh, baby. Let's go.
20% Yahoo rostered, 19% ESPN. Made his season debut, and I'll let you take it from here.
Yeah. So, you know, he had 7 catches on 9 targets for 61 yards and a score. Of course, we need to keep in mind that Elijah Moore was out with a concussion. I assume he'll be back. And all that's really going to do is murky up the picture a little bit. But Crowder was 2nd in snap share. He was on the field for 63.3% of snaps. And that was ahead of Keelan Cole, 58.3% of snaps. Now, when Moore comes back, I see Keelan Cole getting, you know, the boot in that situation. And Crowder, listen, Matt, even when the Jets were absolutely terrible, I had been rostering Crowder and using him as a wide receiver 3 because I know it's a new system, new quarterback, all this stuff, but he's just a reliable guy. It, you know, since his time with Washington over to with the Jets, he's been on subpar teams his entire career, but he manages to be a viable PPR guy. And he was someone that was drafted. We weren't expecting him to get COVID and the other complications, whatnot, and missed those first couple weeks. So his ownership's at 20% or below on both of the major formats here. I could see Crowder having more upside than anybody on this list, with the exception of Laviska Shenault. So he could be number 2, and even better, you might be able to get him for $0 or $1 in fab, or, you know, wait till waivers clear and grab him after that. I don't know how under the radar he's going to fly. It all depends on your individual league, but, and of course you have to decide how much of the Jets you want to get, but, you know, even with a decent defense, they're going to be behind in games there. You know, I imagine that, you know, Wilson will have to dig his way out of holes a la Jameis Winston in his 30 for 30 year. So, you know, maybe Crowder comes in and is able to make a fantasy impact.
Yeah, I like Crowder a lot too. In fact, besides Shenault, again, I'm assuming he's not available. I'm in 15 leagues. I don't think I can pick him off of waivers one. I like Crowder in the same vein as a Hunter Renfrow, who you can start just about every week if you are in a pinch and know that you're getting a safe 8 to 10 points in a PPR format. I think that's where Crowder excels. And it's great to see Zach Wilson treat Crowder the way every other Jets quarterback has treated him, which is to say, hey, you know, I'm going to throw it to you when I'm in trouble. And that's about it. I'm not dropping necessarily Elijah Moore if I had him. Like if you were drafting Elijah Moore, it's because you thought he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. All the Jets media got you worked up and you were jacked to go.
And you weren't. With rookie receiver, you weren't necessarily counting on that in the first 4 weeks anyway. It was going to be a second half thing. Right out of the gates.
After last year, all the wide receivers, the rookie wide receivers doing well, maybe you did have expectations. They were wrong and you shouldn't have, but we all make bad choices. Urban Meyer, we all make bad choices. So I'm not buying the Elijah Moore being out will then influence Jameson Crowder. I think Crowder is going to have his role altogether. And I feel more confident actually as a Jets piece overall than just about anybody else on that team. Michael Carter, you know, Corey Davis obviously got his, and I think he's going to have that value too, but Crowder's going to have a pretty substantial part in that offense rest of the season. So we actually talked last week about Rashad Bateman as a pickup.
Okay, good. We're starting to run long. We can keep moving.
Yes. In lieu of picking him up off of injured reserve, he didn't play this past week. And I think that's more because the Ravens thought we don't really need him against the Broncos. It'll be really interesting to see waiver wire wise what happens this week. And I anticipate he's active this week. So
yeah, absolutely.
How do you feel?
I was going to bounce this over to you. I was going to say that, you know, out of some guys that we previously hyped that have had some kind of bum games lately, bum usage, even with good team offensive game, like where do you rank Rashard Bateman relative to Rondell Moore or Terrace Marshall?
I think I'm going to have Moore and Terrace ahead of Bateman. Maybe Bateman's like on the range of Terrace Marshall. I think he's going to
take him slow.
Like, take them slow. They don't pass a lot as well. They're going to have a few games where I think they can run just running the ball, or they can win just running the ball and don't need to get them involved. But there's going to be some schemed plays. And I think with Marquise Brown doing well and Sammy Watkins doing well, that's a lot of deep threats. Somebody over the middle besides Mark Andrews has to be there. And I think that's where Bateman can be successful.
Well, and the other thing is Sammy Watkins going to decide this year that he's not going to be a walking injury. Maybe.
It's possible.
Or maybe not. Or maybe not. And then someone comes up. I know the Ravens were in the Josh Gordon sweepstakes a little bit. Yeah. It didn't happen. So, you know, hey,
you know, I'm in the chat right now of the live podcast arguing I'm looking for guaranteed production. Any like 50 yards rushing for Saquon Barkley is not guaranteed production. Sammy Watkins getting injured is maybe guaranteed as well, too. It'll be one of those things where if he by the end of the season, he's not, you're like, wow, Sammy Watkins played the entire year. This is incredible. But you can never count on that. I think that's one of those things that if you are into Bateman, like picking up Bateman this week, that's your expectation. I think you can get Bateman for $2 or $3, if not more, in deeper leagues. But right now, 10-team, 12-team, I'm not investing in them.
Yeah, tougher in the Midwest where he's at least on the radar because of Minnesota. Wide receiver you, I guess. No. But yeah, he's a guy that you can, you know, back these bids up with a couple bucks or grab after waivers clear. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know. I'll say this a million times this season, but no dead weight on your bench, you know. Guys are injured out for the year. You know, guys are healthy. There's so many players that were drafted. We can just cut bait with and
definitely constantly keep improving
your rosters.
We don't want dead weight, but we should have two defenses.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, you can, whatever you're smoking, I want some of that here. Come over to this.
You were the one that was in Colorado this past week. Not me.
Fair enough. You caught me there.
Let's move over to the tight ends before this podcast really gets off the rails. So we had talked about Dalton Schultz last week, and unfortunately I was saying I don't care about him whatsoever. Oops, that's wrong. Had a great game against the Panthers. Looks like the clear tight end one over Blake Jarwin, which hurts my heart. But I think Dalton Schultz has to be a conversation again. He's probably over 50% roster or close to it, but it's certainly going to be if you are dealing in that tight end wasteland that a lot of people are past Kelce, Andrews, Kittle, and Hockenson. It's going to be a situation where Schultz might be a starter for you in a week in week basis. Do you feel comfortable saying he is a tight end one for you for at least the immediate future?
I mean, the way that he is being used right now. Yeah, sure. You know, I put him in there and see what happens until further notice. You know, my draft strategy was always to grab a top 3-4 guys. So there are very few leagues where I'm in, you know, this type of position, but he's definitely worth rostering in anything 14 teams. Or just about, I'd say anything 12 teams or greater. You know, he's a guy that can go out and produce here. Some other guys, you know, we can run through these pretty quickly here. You know, you talked about some guys last week, but I wanted to bring up Hunter Henry, 42% Yahoo, 36% ESPN. Both Henry and Jonnu Smith in that Sunday night game were given 5 targets apiece. Henry slightly more productive. Both of them scored. Henry also has a slightly higher routes run rate than Jonnu Smith. And both of them can be productive too and sneak into that tight end one range. You know, I'd say they're both top 15 tight ends. Whether they're tight end ones gets to be a lot more debatable. But with the wide receiving core they have there, clearly Mac Jones is going to the tight end here. And I mean, Hunter Henry, I thought the world of him, you know, a couple years ago, and you've seen plenty of him with the Chargers. You know that he is a good player, and Bill Belichick will make the most of his good players. So I think he'll continue to be productive and, you know, around 40% rostered. He's a guy that I don't view all that differently than someone like Dalton Schultz.
You know, that's the problem, that Bill Belichick will use his good players because he uses all of them every time. If he could have 35 players out in offense, he would, and yet they'd still only get 5 yards per target or whatever it is. The fact that Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith are splitting the workload, I think, has directly impacted both of them. That was Jonnu Smith's first touchdown. We were both high in him entering the season. I could have sooner thought he wasn't playing at all, given his 3 or 4 targets every single week. And the same applied to Hunter Henry too. I think it's more because Mac Jones hasn't developed to be a fantasy level quarterback yet. And if he were, then Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith are going to be assets. But when is that going to happen for Mac Jones? I don't know. Like I thought he played really well against the Buccaneers and yet had only like 250 yards and was generally just throwing dink and dunk pass the whole night. Mm-hmm. I don't see it really changing for Mac this season. And therefore I'm not in on Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith because I think they are directly tied to what Mac Jones does as a quarterback.
And the Patriots are the original 2 tight end set team, right?
You know? Yes.
So both those guys will be out there and they'll play plenty. They'll run plenty of routes. You know, I'm fine with that. The other tight ends I listed this week are mostly quick hitters. And to me, these players are the kind of guys you roster or you think about having in touchdown only leagues, but you don't really count on their production outside of that. And I'm talking CJ Uzomah, Dawson Knox, and Max Williams. All 3 of those guys, you know, were off good weeks. CJ Uzomah, whoever thought to captain him on Thursday night, brilliant, I guess, or just, you know,
0.1% people.
Yeah. Or just playing the variance there. But you know, with T Higgins coming back, I'm not expecting a lot. Buffalo's wide receivers are absolutely loaded. Again, to expect this, they obviously get red zone targets here and there, but to expect that week to week, is you're gonna have a bad time.
Yeah, and I think Higgins being out matters too. And I think Higgins could be back this week as well. So if that's the case, okay. You know, I think Uzomah is going to be one of those guys I would fade altogether. Dawson Knox had his two touchdowns as well too. I think he had two, right? If I'm remembering that correctly. In a blowout game for the Bills, that's where I'm kind of worried. Does that game script happen often? I'm not sure. He's already on pace to set career highs, 144 yards, four touchdowns through four games of the season, but he's never been targeted more than five times other than this game against the Texans when they were up by like 35 points at halftime.
Yeah.
I'm not buying Knox.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, yeah, I'm not really buying those guys either. I'll give one more sleeper though. I'm going to go back to Cameron Brate because, you know, Gronk is probably going to miss a little more time with his broken ribs here. So you have to look at the comparison between Cameron Brate and OJ Howard. The snap share is actually quite similar with Howard actually having an edge. But you look at the route run percentage, which we have tight end route data on rotowire.com to check out, 96.4% route run rate. That's a lot to say for Brate, whereas Howard is only 62.5%. So Howard is out there to block significantly more than Brate is. And of course, the targets reflect that. Six for Brate last week, only one for Howard. So Brate is a guy that'll probably come out and surprise people. Maybe you sneak a low ownership on him in your DFS lineups. If you're playing Yahoo DFS, you can probably get him here for pretty cheap. Or, you know, someone gets hurt. If Kittle's still nursing an injury, we'll see what happens with him this week. You know, if anyone gets hurt, you know, there's someone that, you know, Brady is definitely looking towards his tight end and looking towards his tight end in the red zone. And it certainly isn't Gronk, but could be the next man up.
I'll give you a different deep sleeper at tight end. And I guess I wanted to rank, you know, we had talked about Tommy Tremble and Dan Arnold quite a bit after the trade between Jacksonville and the Panthers. Tremble had, you know, one target, didn't catch it at all. Dan Arnold looked okay with Jacksonville. If Logan Thomas is out for an extended period of time, I really think that Ricky Seals-Jones is going to be a guy that could have some value. He has been a player that we've mentioned in this podcast in the past and has had some touchdown upside. And I think that's where his value lies quite a bit for Washington, who really doesn't have those guys. Terry McLaurin scores deep. You have Antonio Gibson, who might be, maybe get some goal line opportunities. That offense needs somebody of Ricky Seals-Jones caliber, and I think he could be an interesting option. I'll rank him below Dan Arnold of the obscure tight ends that you probably don't want to roster. It's Dan Arnold, Ricky Seals-Jones, and then Tommy Tremble. And I like Tommy Tremble quite a bit, but I think that's where Seals-Jones kind of factors in.
Well, we've officially covered two tight end leagues for everybody here. Let's go. Anything else to add before we stream some defenses?
No, actually, we have to get a word from our sponsors, Thrive, though. Thrive Fantasy leagues. Come prop bet on Thrive Fantasy this football season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports and esports app available for player props. With Thrive, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus on only the top-tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game. Will they go over or under their projected stat totals? Choose 10 of the 20 available player props to build your lineup. Each prop is assigned a fantasy value for both the over and under based on how likely it's to hit. Hit the most props and rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. Thrive has a free $1,000 NFL Week 5 RotoWire supporters code. You can just use promo code RotoWire when you sign up, and you'll also receive a 100% instant free deposit match up to $100. Download Thrive Fantasy on the iOS App Store or Google Play Store, or sign up by visiting www.thrivefantasy.com. Get in on the action and prop up today. All right, yeah, just real quick on these streaming defenses. I think Minnesota against the Lions feels like the best play, but there could be a few other options. So how would you rank those ones?
Yeah, Minnesota against the Lions seems like the no-brainer here. Minnesota's at least got some decent pass rushers in there that'll get after Goff, who likes to run around and try to buy more time, but really he's just setting himself up to get hit. It's a home team. The over-under is below 50. The over-under on this game is 49, which surprises me a little bit. I would have maybe taken the under and expected less scoring there, but Minnesota seems to be the top option this week. Some of these streaming defense conversations are a little bit, or almost a little bit irrelevant before bye weeks, right? Because, you know, you have your defense you're sticking with. But if you're like me and you thought the Washington football team's defense and Chase Young was going to be awesome this year, and they've gotten you negative points, are basically it's been a net break even throughout the year. There hasn't been much positive happening there. Then you got to start thinking about these defenses like Minnesota. I also, some teams, you know, there are some higher ownership ones that you can check on in Jerry's article that just came out this morning. Got a great streaming defense article. But as far as mostly universally available guys, I know the Raiders didn't look great last night, but they get the Bears, and that is over under 45.5. So again, my three streaming defenses boxes here, right? You know, the circumstance, right, in the matchup, home team, low over under. The Raiders check all those boxes, and ooh, baby, 2% rostered. People might overreact to the Falcons or to what the Jets did last weekend with Wilson, but the Falcons host the Jets this week in a game with the over under 46 here. So could he go back to the 3-interception guy that he was 2 weeks ago or the 3-touchdown guy from last week? We'll see. Just wanted to throw out a couple streamers for you.
That's fair enough. All right. Well, that does it for us on the RotoWire NFL podcast, the waiver wire edition. Obviously, we've had a lot of, like, you know, trade questions coming in, rolling in. Those are great for other days. You know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Monday, we got great podcasts throughout the week. Maybe not Friday. The DFS guys might not talk your trade stuff, but a lot of other podcasts, great podcasts on the RotoWire network as well, too. And I'm happy that Jake, you're able to return and give us some valuable insight as my broadcast aside to keep cutting in and out.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you ever need me to waste 2 minutes blabbering, you know, I'm your man. I can talk about anything. But yeah, you know, so we're not really focusing on trade questions here on this show. But of course, if you get us on Twitter at JB Fantasy Sports, at Roto Jake, I am back from the mountains and checking my phone once again. So, you know, we'll be good to go back to a regular routine this week. And, you know, happy to help out when I can. And thanks for everyone for tuning in and bringing the keeping the comments coming. I wish we could have got to more of them. We got to a good chunk, I think. But you know, hit us up on Twitter if we miss you.
Yeah. Again, thanks for listening. And hopefully you guys come back in next week.